How you doing, man? Happy
Good.
Victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
Everybody's doing well around these parts. I tell you what, we'll get into it right now as we kick off Jaguars Today.
Second down and 7 from the 15-yard line. Play fake. Manning looks, and he's going to get swamped. Ball's out. The ball is on the ground. Let's see who comes. It is still loose. It's recovered by somebody in the end zone. Let's see who's got it. Jacksonville's recovered. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars. The ball was loose. Jacksonville recovered it. Touchdown, Jags. Straight drop. Manning steps up, fires it out to the right flat. He's got his tight end. Goodwill. Ball's on the ground. The ball's on the ground. It's picked up by Aaron Coleman. Aaron Coleman up the left sideline. Aaron Coleman inside the 5. Aaron Coleman. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And the defense has given the Jags the lead.
It's something that we had to do. We had to take our defense to the next level by getting takeaways and scoring the ball.
Three receivers plus a slot for Manning. Four-man front for Jacksonville. Straight drop. Manning looks. He's hit his sack. The ball is out. The ball is out. Jacksonville's recovered. Chris Clements fell on it. And the Jags are going to beat the New York Giants.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Victory Monday. Mike Dempsey, the Ozone Fat Tony here with you on this Monday morning following the Jags' biggest comeback victory in team history. First time they scored 2 defensive touchdowns. John,
What do I need, Mike?
Yeah, what do you need?
I go back.
Tell me what you need.
I go back 25 years with Frank.
Uh-huh.
I need Frank to come call my day.
Yeah? How would that sound?
When I'm sitting at my computer just type, I would be fired up for my day.
Would you?
If Fran
you
was
should
right.
be. Should you not be excited when you're making game-changing plays?
That was cool. That was cool.
You know, it's cool nice that we've got some new blood that we can...
How much better would your life be if somebody just called your day like that?
It depends, man. There's a lot of stuff I don't need anybody seeing what's happening in the course of my day. But it was all on display for everyone to see yesterday. And, I mean, John... 21-0. Come on. I said this yesterday on the postgame. I said, Larry Munson once said this in this stadium. He said, it was over. I gave up. So did you. So did pretty much 90% of the fan base, I would think, at that point, think that there's no way that game's not out of reach.
Yeah, and I thought what was impressive and very interesting, and it goes back to what we've been talking about, the defense all year, the defense was not good in the first half.
At all. 19-play drive.
Right, and... You know, I talked to Sinderick after the game, and he said it was really just a matter of sort of deciding not to allow little things. You know, everybody talks about the pass rush. He said Rashad Jennings for a while was getting 2 yards and falling forward for 4 or 5. And he said we just had to kind of get that to where it was hitting him at the line of scrimmage, and he falls forward for 2. And then all of a sudden, the down and distance changes, and then you can rush the passer a little bit. But usually when a team comes back from 21-0 down or 23 down, it's sparked by the offense because the opposing offense is not in a situation where it has to make risky plays.
Right.
So you usually don't get comebacks like that happen because of the defense. And I thought it was a credit to the defense, the way this team's put together, to the guys on that side of the ball that, as they've done all year, given limited opportunity because – it was not like the Giants had to pass in bad situations, but they took advantage when Eli was back. They got a fumble, got themselves back in the game. An unusual way to come back, and I think it speaks to the character or the drive or whatever, the guys on the front 7, that you know they didn't quit. When, as a couple of players said, a lot of teams in this league, in that situation, you're 1-10.
You're down 21-3 at the half.
And
yeah.
Things haven't gone well, and it would have been easy for the defense to kind of say, well, yeah, the offense hasn't done anything. We're not going to come back in this game. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons not to have that happen. And, yes, the Giants made some plays that gave the Jaguars a chance, but they figured out a way to get back in the game, and then once they were back in the game, they took advantage of it. So credit to them.
Right. It's not like Eli turned around tried to hand the ball to Rashad Jennings, and they mishandled it, and it just dropped on the ground. I mean, they were making plays.
Right.
Creating havoc and taking the ball away. And
we talked about that, and I think it was Jeff a few minutes ago talked about it being Seattle defense like. I'm not ready to go there yet because you're 2-10 or 2-whatever.
You had a good 2-game stretch.
But as I think we talked about last week, what's remarkable about the pass rush and the way the defense is played is usually you get big sack numbers and pressure and things like this when your team is ahead, because that's when you have a chance to peel your ears back
sure.
after the passer. This team has been as good a pass, you know, I haven't been here all 20 years of this team, but it's as good a pass rush as I can remember. Tony's, you know, the historic guy, but it's a very good pass rush, much better than people expected, and it's doing it without having the inherent advantage of leading in the last 5 minutes of a game.
Where everyone's throwing constantly,
which is where
you know that's all they're going to do.
Pass rushes, a lot of teams pile up
pad their
at that
stats,
point.
Yep.
I covered
saw Von Miller last night.
Freeney and Mathis got rich in the last 5 minutes of the game. Great players, but their numbers were really good because they played with Peyton Manning and they were always ahead. This line doesn't have that luxury, so for it to be doing what it's doing is very, very impressive and pretty rare.
Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were playing for me last night. Thank you very much. And doing a fine job of it late in that contest. We've got to take
on
a break.
One of your 19 yeah. teams.
Yes. we got to take a break. We'll come back and get your phone calls. We'll talk all about this
I think
victory
the game
the
winner
Jags.
Might be walking down the hallway to talk with us, too.
Osier?
Scobie.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
You just get
we'll
that message?
I did.
All right. Well, then we'll look for that. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I got that, too, just a minute ago. Why not? Let's bring him in and find out why these kicks have been being blocked so far this year. Isn't that the thing you want to know? I mean, hey, it's great that you split the uprights from 43 and everybody got free firehouse subs. Everyone was happy about that. But what the heck was going on prior to that? And hopefully, whatever it is, it's been resolved, you know, in emphatic fashion. We'll take your calls today when we can get them in. 641-1010, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today. Simply asking you, who are you handing out your game ball to on this Monday for the Jaguars 25-24 win over the New York Giants? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. I will tell you what I thought was the most important aspect of the Jags' victory yesterday. We'll get into all angles on that. Hopefully talk with Bob Babich on the program a little bit later on this morning and assorted Jaguars that we're able to grab throughout the course of the next 2 hours. Take your calls as well. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Victory Monday right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, here we go. Let's see if Josh Scobie can guess the music theme today. This is 50 Cent, 21 Questions. We always have a music theme every day on Jaguars Today. Josh, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, a lot better today than previous Mondays, that's for sure.
I bet you have been. What is it about this team that allowed it to kind of stick together? I mean, 1-10, John and I are just talking about this. Probably plenty of teams in the NFL you'd never... They never admit to giving up whatever. You're down 21-0. You're a 1-10 football team. You got to be thinking in some part of your mind, here we go again. Didn't happen that way, did it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like that. Even when we were down 21-0, it really didn't feel like we were down that much. And you could feel something on the sideline the whole game. The guys just thought that we were going to be able to bring it back. And we had an amazing pregame speech from Red Bryant, and there was just a different kind of energy in the locker room before the game, and everyone felt it. Even though we were down, you know, 21-3 at half, it didn't feel like that, and guys were resilient in the second half.
We sat here watching the game, John. I don't know about you from your perspective, but we watching it in the studio yesterday mm-hmm. said, you know, you get to that range of the field in past years, game's over. We know you got this. It's been a struggle at times this year on that unit for you guys. Was any of that going through your head as, you know, you're saying, all right, here we go again. We've been in the situation once trying to beat Tennessee at the end of the game. We've had a few others blocked this year. What do you think, or do you just block that out?
Yeah, you know, that's something that I try not to worry about is things I can't control. I can't control blocked kicks. The things I can control are how I approach it, my mindset, what I'm focusing on, and then how I hit the ball. So yesterday I wasn't thinking about any of that stuff. I was focused on making a good hit, and regardless of how long it was going to be, I was going to be prepared for it. And, you know, the line did a great job blocking. Obviously, great snap, great hold. And
right down Main Street.
Right down the middle. It's always nice to hit the game winners down the middle.
And I heard you say afterward, you hit it well.
Yeah.
You said you suck it.
Yeah, I hit it great. And I had a a really good opportunity to focus and get ready for that kick going into that drive where the Giants went down, kicked their field goal. So I knew that if we got down to my range, it was going to be a great opportunity. So I just locked in right then and made sure I was focusing on the right things.
Now, I kind of joked with you after the game, a long time since you've been in that situation.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, obviously the last time was in Tennessee, and things were a little bit different with, you know, the length of the field goal and the wind. But, you know, yesterday was just set up perfectly. I mean, the weather was amazing. There was basically no wind, so I just knew I had to hit it right down the middle.
Now, you've played long enough where you've had the chance to be in that situation, and I know you've had ones where you beat Indy, you beat other teams, but, you know, even with the record, there had to be something sort of special about that with the way it came back. It was a special day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that sort of ranks up there for you.
Oh, yeah. You never know when you're game-winning opportunities are going to come, so they're all very special. This one was, you know, very, very special because it's been a struggle this year, and you know, we put in a lot of hard work on the field as a field goal unit, and you know, that starts with me, and you know, goes all the way down to the line. They've been working extra hard, and you can see I've never seen guys on the sideline will get in field goal formation and get a defensive lineman to work on their blocks. And, you know, that's a testament to the work that they're willing to put in, and it's paying off right now.
Josh Scobie kicked the game winner for you yesterday, 43 yards, made everybody happy because he gave him free Firehouse subs. You know about that? I'm sure you're aware of the promotion,
no,
right?
No, I'm not aware of that at all. I never hear about it on
Twitter. You never get asked about that in the least. And so everybody came through, and I said, you know, probably want to thank Toby Gerhart. That was a 39-yarder until he lost a few there at the end.
That's kind of funny. I actually thought about that for 1 second. I said, well, this ought to make him happy.
Exactly. See, it does go through your mind when you're out there.
It's kind of funny.
So does Toby get a sub? Because, I mean,
I have a few gift cards.
You'll hook him up.
It's kind of funny. I think they told me, I hope I'm not way off on this, but I think they said 30,000 people signed up for it.
Wow.
So in the Jacksonville area, there are 30,000 people that could go get a free sub.
And, it's a game-winning sub, Mike.
They always taste better when they're game winners, man, when they're right down the middle like that. I thought, Josh, the most important thing in all seriousness, the defense has been playing better since the first month of the season, right? And they're creating all this havoc, especially the last 2 weeks, to come all the way back, but then to have the offense have to take it the last little bit and the special teams finish it off and make it truly a complete team victory, I thought was a big thing for your team, for your locker room.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, the defense has been playing great, and we just, you know, the other two sides of the ball, we haven't been helping them out. And, you know, as much as people like to talk about, the defense has to have the mentality of, it doesn't matter what's going on, you know, whether the offense is going three and out or sustaining drives, they have to do their job. But that's got to be tough on them. They see it every day. I'm down there by their bench, and, you know, I see the frustration. And yesterday, the offense fed off of the defense, and you could tell that. And, I mean, what did they have, 2 touchdowns yesterday on defense? That's huge. And it just goes to show you that the mindset those guys have, they don't care. They're ready to go work, and it was impressive and fun to watch yesterday.
How's this team, I guess, been able to hang in there and believe this late in the season? 2 consecutive years now, yet last year you come out of the bye, not even really being competitive the first half of the year, and you win 4 out of 5 games. Mm-hmm. This year, clearly there's no quit in the football team. You saw the biggest comeback in team history, but you know, you're 1-10 going into that contest. What is the coaching staff, what are the players, the leaders in that locker room been able to do to keep you guys together?
Well, as you guys know, you're around Gus enough to know what kind of positive attitude he has all the time. I mean, I've never been around anyone like him that can see the silver lining and the positive in everything that's going on.
Aside from Vito.
Yeah, well, obviously, because
in a class by himself.
I got nothing for that one. But Gus always seems to find a way to spin it to keep everyone, you know, in a positive frame of mind. And he told us from day one that his message wasn't going to change, and it hasn't. He's always been the same person, and he tries to relay that to the rest of the coaching staff, and they do a great job of doing the same thing. And, you know, with how Gus is with us every day, with how great of a person is and a coach he is with us, we want to, you know, give him our best. And it hasn't been like that the entire season, obviously, but, you know, hopefully we can put together some now.
Well, hopefully when you get chances to kick the remainder, the remaining four games of the season, we'll get results like we got yesterday. Is there something you could pinpoint as to why you guys have struggled at times this year? Is it one thing over and over, or has it been a mix of different things?
You know, it's kind of hard to say because, you know, obviously I have a lot of responsibility on myself. I control how high I kick it, but, you know, we've had – it's obviously had some blocking issues too.
Right, you're not trying to throw your teammates under the bus here. I understand that.
Yeah, because, you know, as a kicker, you want to take full responsibility for things. Now, the 55-yarder in Tennessee, I hit that one low. You, with that type of kick, against the wind, you know, 55 yards, you're trying to drive it a little more, and I just hit it too low and just happened to have one guy there get his fingertip on the ball. The other two blocks, you know, we had some protection breakdowns, and that's why they've been working extra hard to get that remedied, and they've been doing a great job of it. And, you know, and what I tell people is that there's blood in the water, and the Sharks see that. And anytime you see a blocked field goal, you're going to get 10 times the rush that you did before, and we've had three this year, so we're still going to see some really good rushes from teams. You know, we put together five makes in a row now, and now the goal is just to go make the next one and keep going from there.
Now, Josh, you've played long enough where you're now the bridge to the past, so to speak.
He's the old guy.
But, yeah. I mean, that had to be sort of cool yesterday, getting that kick with so many of your former teammates, so many guys that you've played with. Did you have that feeling, too? Was it a cool day?
It was. That was such a special day yesterday, getting to see – you know, so many guys that I played with and so many guys that, you know, played before I got here that were, you know, legends. It was a very special thing to be able to win the game and, you know, obviously for me to get to kick the game winner. It was really neat getting to talk to those guys because most of those guys don't know anyone else on the team besides myself or Mercedes. So getting to see Fred and Jimmy coming back, which cool. That was awesome. And Chris Hansen, who was the punter my first 3 years here, obviously my holder. So, you know, getting to see all those guys and giving them a win was special.
As we wrap up here, you have your own vantage point on Blake Bortles. We ask everybody just, you know, their thoughts on his development, what you see in his potential, and where he's going to go.
You know, obviously I know a lot about quarterbacks. footwork. Release no, but in terms of the intangibles, you know, what I see from him every day, because his locker's right next to mine, I get to, you know, talk to him, hang out with him, see what kind of person he is. He's the guy that's going to be here a long time, and he's got the right mentality, he's got the mindset to go do whatever it takes to help the team win. And obviously, you know, he's had some struggles this year, but that doesn't faze him. I mean, as you can see, he's just going to go out and sling it. And I think, you know, the more opportunity we can help him out with, the better, and the more he's going to grow.
Congrats on the win. Congrats on the kick. We'll call him the fireman from now on. Josh Scobie, right? That's what relief pitchers are. They come in, they close the game. They're the firemen. You send them to firehouse for free food, man. Yep. We'll take that. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks.
Appreciate
a lot.
That. On behalf of the 30,000 out there, we're not hungry today.
Enjoy your
we
subs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Josh.
Spending some time with the family down here at the stadium today. I do think it was important, John, as well as the defense played, to come back and put them in position and to take the lead and have the Giants come back and take that lead, to have the offense finish it off, to have them play a role with the touchdown drive to Marquise Lee, but also when you had to have a drive at the end, just simply to get in field goal range and then to have Scobie come in and finish that off, to not let that defensive effort in the second half go to waste was big.
And when you cover a team, you look for things that you sort of say, okay, now they've done something. You figure maybe they can rely on it or start believing they can do it. That last drive, you know, as much as had gone wrong at times offensively, on that last drive you had two penalties. And Blake Bortles overcame them first with a pass to Marquise Lee and then with a run. And Marquise Lee made some plays that you've been waiting for him to make and started sort of looking like he felt like he belonged. So, yeah, when the quarterback can sort of bring you back in that situation, no matter how he does it, now he's done it once where he hadn't done it before, and that's got to give him confidence.
No doubt. Jags get their second of the season, 6-4-1, 10-10. Phone lines open to you. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. We'll hope to catch up with more members of the victorious Jacksonville Jaguars on a Victory Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, what do we got here? 50 Cent went right over Scobie's head. We got Baby Come Back, my player, Tony. Now, this is my kind of music right here. Seriously,
yes, it is.
I love this music right here. This is, I understand the comeback here. Okay, 21 questions. They came back from 21 points down.
Yes,
franchise
sir.
Record. Very nicely done. Lauren Brooks. Lauren really? Brooks, TV star.
Not at all. I was just snapped in action.
Noticed, I saw you, and I almost screeched like a little girl in the room. Nothing against little girls and their screeches, but I was like, ah, Lauren, on television, because they had just gotten done, showing Fortunato, and I think they thought Joe Fortunato was the play-by-play voice of the Jaguars, the way it all went down. And we're sitting here, and for folks who don't know or who could care less, we sit here in the JP and I sit in the studio and watch the game on television because we do updates at the end of the first and third quarters. We do some halftime stuff. So it's kind of pointless to go up to the press box, come back down. So we just watch it on TV. We listen to the radio broadcast, watch it on TV. So at some point, as you all watched it yesterday, if you did watch it on television or saw the replay, they're talking about, the alumni aspect of the game. They got all the great Jags from the past and they're showing some of that ceremony and then they go up to the booth, and there's Tony Boselli and Jeff Loggeman in the shot, but they frame it as a three-man shot. But instead of getting Frangie in there, they get Fortunato on the other side. So I think they thought Joe was calling the game, maybe. I'm not sure what they thought.
Equally important role.
Or maybe they just wanted Boselli to be center frame,
Well, because they were announcing his name.
Oh, were they talking about Tony specifically?
Yeah, during the ceremony there at halftime, they mentioned Boselli and Loggeman at two different times.
Right.
And they pointed to the booth when they were like, and number 71, Tony Boselli, and they would point to the booth.
Okay.
But they were honoring him as one of the alumni. He was just upstairs.
Of course he was. I know. I understood that. Kind of the concept that they're showing, all right, these guys can't be part of this.
Yeah.
But because it was focused on Tony, they could have done a two-shot with Tony and Jeff in it and cut out either guy on the side, but they opted to go with the three-man booth, and this made me wonder if they thought Joe Fortunato was calling the game. Anyway, we're sitting there, and then it was not long after that a big play occurs. I can't even tell you which one, and I see this brunette with sunglasses on and a Jaguar T-shirt pumping her fist in the crowd. I'm like, that's Lauren Brooks. And I'm asking everybody, what's Lauren wearing? Because you change like five times. Tell me you don't change like five times on game days.
I change twice on game days.
Right,
some less.
You came yesterday in jeans.
I came in jeans, yes. But then it was real warm after I did the first interview with some lovely people in the parking lot. So I went back and I put on shorts and flip-flops. And then I changed my shirt after that because I like to put on an actual Jaguar t-shirt.
Because you like to mix it all up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Were you wearing a 1010 shirt when you were in the parking lot? Was that?
Yes, I wear a 1010XL polo in the parking lot, and then
gotcha.
I change that because it's very businesslike. I put on band
very,
t-shirt.
Very businesslike, yes. And so Lauren gets the picture. Somebody sent you the screenshot, right?
They did, yes.
There's a lot happening in that photo.
I believe Viper Driver tweeted it to me, actually.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. Very nice of him to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, go look at Lauren's Twitter feed, at 1010XL Lauren, and I've entitled the photo, Grinding Out of Victory. All right, and look at the couple to the left. Look at the dude on the right. He's going in for the kill, right? And Tony pointed out the gentleman to your immediate right. If you draw that dotted line from his eyes,
mm-hmm.
we think he's looking past you to the action on the field, but we can't be quite sure. So you might want to go back and check that
out. Okay, I'll have to look again.
All right.
This picture has a lot going on, apparently.
There really is a lot going on in this photo. It's just a screen capture or a screenshot from the television broadcast. But
it was so much fun.
Makes the big broadcast.
I was happy.
We should be happy. You kidding
exactly.
me? It's unbelievable to think at that time, and I know, Tony, you've watched the Giants very closely.
I have.
And I know you said at 21-3 you felt like...
I tweeted it.
Right. That
I tweeted it. I said, honestly, I think the Jaguars are going to have a chance to win this game. And It may have been how much Giants football I've watched. And you know me, I'm not a pessimist. I'm really not. I'm more of an optimist than anything. And it just felt like the Giants were waiting on Jacksonville to make some kind of play to make them start collapsing in on themselves. They had the sack with the fumble recovery in the end zone. I was like, here we go. Here we go. The Jags are going to have a chance to win this game if they can take advantage of it. And they found a way to do it. And I know Duval Doom, who's already tweeted us today and knows that I've grown up a New York Giants fan.
He's worried for you.
I know. I told him I have a story to tell on air today, and I'm not sure how much if he's going to like it or hate it or whatever. I can tell you that I go up to the booth during the home games while you guys are down here.
Yes.
After doing the pregame. And I can tell you that watching that game yesterday, I was in my own head wishing for the success of the Jacksonville Jaguars much more than any of my feelings for the New York Giants. It was like, come on, Jags, let's get something going here. I was rooting for Jacksonville to be successful in that game more so than the New York Giants. I think that I am more of a Jaguars supporter than I am a Giants supporter at this point. I still like the Giants, but it was not close for me in my own head.
I don't know how I'm going to spin it here, Osier. Should I call him a traitor? A bandwagoner or what exactly?
All right, I step out for 5 minutes
yes.
to shoot headlines.
What happened?
And now I'm coming back here and I got to hear how Tony predicted it. Tony was the first guy on Twitter saying it was going to come back. Is
Tony
that what I
knew.
Missed?
Tony knew.
I did.
He did.
I mean, I knew as
he's
soon
a good
as that,
follow on Twitter.
The worst thing about that game was right after the game, I knew I was going to have to hear Tony say he called it all day today.
I did call it.
That's classic Tony.
I mean,
isn't
I did,
it?
At 21-3, I called it. So
I just
he's that guy who calls everything and then
no,
when he gets
no,
one right, he talks
I am
forever,
really
and
not.
Then he deletes the post.
I am really
he
not.
Misses. He really
well, and
isn't.
It was right before they punted the ball away. They had the 3rd and 17. It was that first drive
yep.
coming out of the halftime.
No,
and somebody
call.
Responded to me. They were like, "You still feel the same way now?" I was like, "I said they're going to have an opportunity.
Right.
Like whether or not they take advantage of it or not, it's not up to me. It's up to them. But the Giants are going to throw a door wide open at some point in this half of football with the Jaguars." Be good enough to step through it, and they were.
It is pretty amazing that they could go from giving up a 19-play,
mm-hmm.
9-minute, 51-second scoring drive, where, I mean, to put a drive like that together in the NFL is almost impossible. To not shoot yourself in the foot, to not have the defense come up with a stop, to just not run out of downs. There's so many different ways that can end poorly for you, or to just to hit a big play and not have it go 19 plays.
Right.
And to not be able to get off the field, and that was early in the football game, so you couldn't blame that on the offense, even though they'd gone 3 and out early. You know, it wasn't like they were exhausted or anything like that. And to go from that to wreaking havoc, you put together the first half of the Indy game, but the second half of this game, that'd be one of the best defensive performances you've probably ever seen.
Well, and again, you know, the defense has done that at various times this year, and it's very hard in the NFL if you don't have an offense to complement things, for a defense to be absolutely dominant for an entire game, because you're either back on the field too quickly or you're going to give up a big play. And with a young secondary, they have given up big plays. But again, I got a lot of emails last night. Why can't the defense do that for an entire game? Well, in this league, you're going to have stretches where you don't play well. And what you want is to have stretches where you play well enough to make up for that and to where you are dominant and give your team a chance to win. And above anything else, that's what this defense has done impressively at times this season, is it's had long stretches where you've looked at it and said, you know what, that's winning football. That's a winning defense, and it certainly was yesterday.
It's funny you say that because Tony and I were looking at a story this morning of the New Orleans-Pittsburgh game and the way it was written up. Now, Pittsburgh scored on the last play of the mm-hmm. game, basically, to make it closer, okay. A little bit more cosmetic, okay? But the final score is 35-32, and the headline was Saints dominate Steelers
right.
in this contest and maybe starting to get on a roll. They just got handled at home on Monday Night Football.
It's a week-to-week league.
And it's crazy, yeah. And now they're like this juggernaut who dominated this team by 3 points. And so the idea of dominating a team, St. Louis, the way St. Louis dominated Oakland is once a decade, or once or twice a year, I guess. I say once a decade. I mean, we saw Atlanta dominate the Bucks this year 59-0.
Right.
Ended up winning 59-14. You occasionally see a game like that where everything works right.
When
for
guys
you.
Say the other team gets paid too, that's a real thing. And fans who follow their own team don't really want to hear that. But, you know, you're going to give up plays. There's going to be stuff that happens. And again, this defense has had many occasions this year where they have played well enough for long stretches that if the offense was more developed, if it was better, then you have a chance to turn those into more consistent victories. But the defense, for the most part, as you said to Josh, with the exception of really the first month of the season, if you take the last, you know, 7-8 games, whatever it is, it's been pretty solid and starting to see a trend where they play well enough for long stretches to give this team a chance.
Yeah, they weren't great yesterday. No. They were very good for a half. I mean, maybe great for a half, right? Yeah. I mean, when you score a couple touchdowns, you're great for a half, okay? Mm-hmm. And the overall...
They gave up, what, 75 yards in the second half?
Right.
Six first. I mean, it was...
The overall impact of the game, it's skewed because you do give up... You can't take away a 10-play or a 10-minute drive in the middle of that contest, but... they overcame it, and mm-hmm. they played one of their best halves of football. And now, you know, you'd like to see two of those halves come in the same game, but right now I'm just happy with the victory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Victory
it's like
Monday, baby.
25-24, let's not nitpick too hard on that score. All right, if you want to get on board, 641-1010 is the number. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back with this date in football history, plus the Honda drive around the NFL. And welcome your calls if you'd like to get on board and talk about your favorite aspect of what came out, other than simply getting the win yesterday. Wild West Guns of Gold brings you the show every Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. You all right over there? Did I shock you?
Oh, wow.
Was I loud?
It's that radio voice coming through.
Fortunately, like. Oh, you throw a headset on, yeah, you got to talk loud like nobody can hear you, okay? I'm loud, John. You're just discovering this
jolting.
Now.
JT fell out of his
I'm
chair.
Jolting. I tell you what, December 1st, 1991, Miami quarterback Dan Marino set an NFL record going over 3,000 passing yards for the 8th time in his career. I've got to believe that record's been shattered.
It feels very antiquated now, doesn't it?
Right. What does Peyton have to be on right
it's
now?
It's a nice little record.
Peyton's in they said last night if he finishes out the season with touchdown passes in every game, he'll break. Remember, it was the United's record forever at 47
right.
games, which I was surprised at how long that took to be broken. Drew Brees took it over. He's got it
right.
at 54, and then Tom Brady got the 52
okay.
and had it snapped.
Is Peyton that close
Peyton's
to it?
At like at 51,
okay.
something like that, so he can break that record.
Yeah.
He's got a couple records.
I know Peyton's
this guy,
going
Peyton.
For 3,000 every year of his career that he's been healthy, so I mean, I assume that's
yeah.
more than eight.
But he hadn't done that by December 1st, 1991, and that's why that happened on this date in football history, presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while giving you unsurpassed customer service. They'll give you a professional free estimate at your convenience. Call 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. So let's table the Honda drive around the NFL for a moment. Let's welcome in JT Thomas of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who's going to score more touchdowns this year, you or J.J. Watt, huh?
Hey, man, you know what? That's a good conversation to be in, man. I've just been very fortunate, man, being able to ball hawk and play hard, and that ball just bouncing my way, man. I'm loving it.
How big was that moment for you guys in that football game? It is 21-3. Your offense gets the ball. They put together some plays, but ultimately have to punt it away. And to go from that where seemingly nothing's going right, and then boom. We're right back in this football game.
I mean, everyone knows that football is a game of momentum, you know. And for us to give our offense that boost they needed, the time to give the fans that boost they needed to get back into the game and to know, hey, we're still here, we're still fighting. And that's the culture of everyone that's in this building, man. You know, everyone's buying in, everyone's playing hard down in and down out. And now you can't expect anything less from our defense and everyone else on our football team.
And you said something interesting after the game that on the play where you scored. You were a little surprised, and you used the word fiddling around, which
yeah.
I was surprised to hear you say, because that's the word my mom used to say when I was about 7 years old. But Elaborate on that a little bit. Were you surprised that they weren't more secure with the ball or that they weren't worried about the defense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that we were a pretty stingy defense, very opportunistic. You know, we're always around the ball. You know, we have, you know, and that's something that we take pride in here, you know, being able to create turnovers and give our offense opportunities. And I was just kind of surprised that, you know, people were kind of just not urgent about getting on the ball down there, man. And I just hopped on top of it, man. Sinderick caused so much commotion down there. The ball was under his leg. You know, he's knocking people over. He's a big boy now. You know, so I was able to be able to jump in there and get on top of it, man. Very fortunate.
Can we get Sinderick to the Pro Bowl is the question. He's not going to get the recognition in this market with the record of the team. That guy's played like a Pro Bowler this year.
I tell you what, man. I know our whole defensive line as a unit, man, they're just a great unit, man. You know, but Sinderick, he's been playing at another level. You know, to watch him work on the inside has truly been a treat for me to be able to watch right behind him. You know, quarterbacks just don't have the time to elude him.
And, you know, to play football 101 a little bit on the day after a victory, talk about what Roy Miller does for you when you're playing behind him. Because I know a lot of guys credit him. The run defense, for the most part, has been pretty good. And he's a big reason for it, isn't he?
He controls the line of scrimmage. You know, a lot of times I'm stacked right behind Roy Miller. And, you know, he's a leader on and off the field. You know, and on game day, you know, he's committed to holding his own down there in that interior line. You know, and so are the other guys on the defensive lineman. They're a nasty group. You know, you got Red Bryant, Roy Miller, and then you got Sinderick in there. Clemens coming up. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of talent on the defensive line. And, you know, and we know that. You know, so we just piggyback off of their energy, and they kind of run the show for the most part.
When you, the difference in the defense from 21-0 to after that, Sinderick said something after the game where it was really just a matter of you had to hold the point of attack a little bit, you had to stop the run a little better. Is that just something where you guys get together on the sideline and say this has to happen?
Well, I just think we're to a point now that we've been through so much as a team is that, you know, we know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that first half that wasn't Jaguar football. That wasn't Jaguar defense. That wasn't us. And now for us to kind of, you know, to stay the course, man, just says a lot about everyone in the building, says a lot about our team, man. And Gus at halftime, man, he came in and he really steadied the ship, you know, and that was a really cool thing to be a part of, man, for him to come in there and kind of settle us down, you know, and get us back focused. You know, and that's what we did. We came out the second half, man. He called it right out. You know, he said what we'd come out and do. Now, we did it. It was a cool thing to be a part of.
I think it was Sinderick after the game who said that you guys gave Coach basically a game ball for not giving up on you guys, despite the record of the team that still believing in you the whole way. He so downplayed it after the game. You know, he's got the ball. He doesn't want to take any credit for anything. And Jeff Logman asked him on the post-game show, is that the game ball? Did you just get a game ball? He goes, man, he didn't know what to say. He's like, this is kind of for the whole team. The team earned this. And that's just, I guess that's just how he is.
And that's so Gus. You know what I mean? And everyone in our building, man, this is a very selfless organization. And I think that's partly because of where we're at right now. All we have is us and our fans. You know, and that's who we play for. We play for each other. We play for the coaches, and we play for the fans. And now we continue to build up on our foundation, man. I think we have a chance to be a really good ball club.
What about Telvin the last couple weeks? Plugging that guy in. He's going to lead the league in tackles, I think, last month of the season.
Well, and the cool thing about Telvin is, you know, a lot of his play right now is off of natural instinct, and that says a lot about him as a player. You know, and once he really, really gets a chance to really absorb the defense over this next spring and the next couple of years, man, he's just going to be a heck of a player, man. I'd be surprised if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year this year.
Talk about the linebacker core a little bit. Injuries with Paz going out, Dakota getting released. It seems like, though, that right now you guys have kind of found a group that you're confident in with you three.
Well, you know, with all the movement that's been going on in our room, man, it's really built a lot of character in our room. Guys have really stepped up to the plate, man. It's a really cool thing to be a part of, man. And Puzz, you know, we have a guy like Puzz who's always in the room, man, just really keeping us focused. You know what I mean? And we understand that, hey, we got to play for each other, man. Guys, you know, have a guy go down here. Guys got to step up, you know, and that's a really cool thing to be a part of.
Well, hopefully, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm good.
You good? All right. I didn't know if you're.
You might just don't talk too loud.
Slide one more. You sure about that? Yeah, I'm going to be loud.
Just don't scare me.
I'm going to be loud, John. That's my nature. JT, hopefully for you guys, several more of these, you know, down the stretch, and you have a nice springboard to go into the off season. But for this week, we'll just take the one yesterday. you know, biggest comeback in team history. First time you guys have scored two defensive touchdowns, one for you, one for Aaron Colvin. And congrats on getting the win. And makes Monday and Tuesday a little bit easier on you, doesn't it?
Of course, man. Of course, man. And like I say, man, just, you know, this win, when we win, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins. You know, the players, the coaches, like we feel it. You know what I mean? Because we put in so much work week in and week out. It's hard to come out and take a L, you know, or you not get the results that you might quite like to have. And now for all our hard work, you know, be able to come out with that W, man, it feels good. It feels great.
No doubt.
We won't revel in it. You know, we'll take a day or so.
A little smidge.
yeah. And we'll get refocused and get ready for our next opponent.
So you'll still eat crumbs, but it'll be bigger crumbs this week, right?
Gotta eat crumbs, man. Gotta eat crumbs.
Hey, message to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You better not fiddle around with that football next week because they're coming for you. All right. Hey, JT, great job, man. Enjoy the next couple days and get healed up and ready to roll against Houston next week.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Good job, man. Thanks, yesterday, there you go. JT Thomas really got it rolling with that touchdown, that fumble recovery that kind of set things back in the right direction, I think, for Jacksonville. To me, I called it the play of the game yesterday in the postgame. You could have pointed to a number of things. Certainly Aaron Colvin's play was huge. The run by Blake Bortles on the field goal drive. There are a lot of big moments, but that, I mean, I literally walked out of the room, went down the hallway for a second, came back, and JP told me to go away. Because whatever right. you did, just go do that again, because they just scored in the brief.
And people
instance.
Tell you that all the time, but that was
all the time. But this time he meant it for a reason other than I was annoying to him. This morning, what did you tell me this morning? She said something. I thought she said, "Man, it smells." And then she took a step away from me. What did you say?
I said, "I have to sneeze." And you thought I said something stinks. And you said, "It's not me."
Oh man, it stinks. And then she took a step away from me. And so
I was trying to be polite.
No,
you know what I'm saying. I mean, it went from as bleak as it could be, John. 21-3. Offense gets it coming out of the second half. If we go down and score, we're in this game. And, of course, they don't. They punt it away. And you're like, here we go.
Well, that's what you got to have for a comeback. You've got to have a couple of plays that, you know, shorten the time frame that it takes to score. It's hard to come back with 7-8 minute drives. And, frankly, for this offense, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of 7 or 8 minute drives right now. So you got to have some things happen that you don't expect. And they had two of those yesterday. They had the two defensive touchdowns that, you know, shortened the time that it took to score and shortened the number of plays that were needed. They didn't have to have long drives. They just got it quickly.
Thanks to JT Thomas for stopping by. And now we're bringing you the Honda Drive Around the NFL.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Johnny Manziel saw significant game action with the Cleveland Browns yesterday for the first time. He went 5-for-8 for 63 yards and rushed for a touchdown in the Browns' 26-10 loss to the Bills. Browns head coach Mike Pettine after the game said that the door is definitely open for there to be a change at quarterback, which sounds an awful lot like Manziel may be playing this weekend against the Colts or not for the Browns' sake. Hope he clears that up today, considering the Browns 7-5 right now, guys, in the middle of a divisional race, as well as fighting for a wild card spot in the AFC. I doubt they want to deal with the same kind of distractions that their coach had a hand in creating during the team's preseason quarterback carousel. The Houston Texans and all-world defensive end J.J. Watt will be here in Jacksonville on Sunday. The Texans improved to 6-6 on the season with a decisive win over Tennessee yesterday. Check out the stat line, though, for J.J. Watt in the game. 3 tackles with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, 6 quarterback hits, a forced fumble and fumble recovery on one of those sacks, and he caught his 3rd touchdown pass of the season, giving JJ 5 total TDs on the year. According to ESPN Stats and Info, Watt is the first defensive lineman since 1944 to score 5 touchdowns in a season. He's the first defensive player, regardless of position, to score 6 touchdowns in a season since Joe Golding in 1948.
Love Joe Golden.
Who scored 4 receiving touchdowns.
Classic.
And he had 2 pick sixes with the Boston Yanks in 1948.
That just seems wrong there that there's such a thing called the Boston Yanks.
He played for the New York Yankees and the Boston Yanks. I looked it up.
How about that?
Yeah.
Joe Golden. Well, that could have qualified as this date in football history on top of all that. JJ
Watt just roll out of the rack and stop Joe Golden.
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, the game plans were devised around Joe Golden.
You had to account for him.
Yeah, absolutely had to account for this guy. He'd score a touchdown now.
Yeah,
he'd score a half dozen on you in a heartbeat. JJ Watt, Zach Ertz owners, Tony, I think are looking for JJ Watt to get tight end eligibility right now in fantasy leagues.
You ain't kidding.
Zach Ertz put up the goose egg this week. By the way, so did Jimmy Graham. But Jimmy Graham didn't have a pass thrown his way by Drew Brees as he threw for 5 touchdowns yesterday as New Orleans went into Pittsburgh and won that football game. All right, 641, 1010 is the numbers. DJ on the line, Lauren, or am I doing that coming up? All right, let's go to DJ. And we'll take a break after that and get more of your calls in if you're apt to call. DJ, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys, man. A good win for the Jazz. And I like that type of win because we see that type of win in the NFL every week. And it's just like, you know, one of those ugly type of wins, you know, as far as like, you know, trying to, you know, decipher who did what play. We know the offense played bad. The offensive line still plays bad. But it was good to see those ugly, game-changing type of wins that the Jaguars needed so badly. So I just want to, you know, tip my hat to the players, man, and keep it going, man. Just keep winning, whatever, at all costs, you know, right now.
I don't know, he said Zug. That's about the most beautiful thing I've seen in a long time.
The result was beautiful. I understand exactly the point he's making.
Look at,
and we brought the case to San Diego yesterday. Baltimore dominated them for much of the day, lived in the red zone, settled for a lot of field goals, still had a comfortable lead for a large portion of that game. And in the last minute, San Diego went ahead and won the football game. And in a couple weeks, it's all anyone's going to care about. Mm-hmm. They don't care how you got there. Mistakes happen, and we'll talk about some of those coming up. Gus Bradley's decision to go for it. He says it wasn't a mistake to go for 2 instead of kicking the extra point with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. We can discuss that. The offensive line play. Certainly there are holes that exist on this football team that they're not firing on all cylinders. But
plenty of time to talk about.
You're rarely going to have a team fire on all cylinders. And, I mean, yeah, I'm sure Green Bay, in beating New England yesterday, made a couple of plays they'd like to have back. Right. You know, so that's just the nature of football. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, along with Fat Tony here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, keep it down, guys, if you could, please. Trying to do some work here. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today.
I don't like this.
1010XL. Little foreigner for
I don't like it at all.
Feels like the first time, John. You know?
I was there when they played this in the Coliseum in 78.
Were you?
I was there as a little seventh grader from Episcopal.
I was going to say, you old enough to have been to the concert in 1978?
Yep. Saw the Cars open for Foreigner in the Coliseum.
I was never a big Cars fan.
Oh, I was, baby.
You know, just, I don't know. They're too...
good.
Oh, they're just too, I don't know, bubblegummy or something.
The Cars.
Yeah, the Cars. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they're not just... Anyway. Let's not go down that road, man. Let's not go down that road. It's Victory Monday, John. Can't we all get along here? Let's get a couple phone calls in. But we do have to talk about a few of the issues we saw yesterday. But, hey, the main takeaway, you scored more points than the Giants.
And my issue is 25-24 is my issue.
25-24. You know who's got an issue? All those Giant fans who showed up yesterday.
Like Tony.
That's right.
Guys like me.
That was wrong.
That's the issue.
Guys like you, Tony. You are the issue. Come on. I know. I'm sure Shot appreciates their financial support for coming through the turnstiles and all the concessions that they purchased, the parking and everything that goes along with it. Obviously,
now,
the
they're
tickets.
One of the teams that's going to put people in the stands no matter where they play.
They have absolutely have a national following, and I'm glad they all went home sad.
That's
and in shock and disbelief. How could this have happened to our squad? Fine, you know.
Sure.
Look, Coughlin said it after the game. He said, we would have been better off taking a knee on every play in the second half. And he's actually right, I think. Had they just went knee, run the clock down as far as they could, down to the final few seconds of the play clock, take a knee, and force the offense to drive the field 3 times and score touchdowns, I doubt they would have been able to do it. Now, you don't operate a football game like that because you'll be second-guessed forever.
I'll say this about it. There were opportunities for big plays to be made throughout the entire day for that Jaguars offense. There were gaping holes in that Giants defense all afternoon long. And the Jags were so close to making a lot of plays. I mean, I can remember four plays just off the top of my head, including in the first quarter, their second drive after they go three and out. They have the false start, so it's first and 15, mm-hmm. and the safeties come down on the play. Cecil Shorts is behind his yeah. man, and the ball is overthrown by a yard. And if he catches that, that's probably a 25, 30-yard play. They had a throw on a corner route to Hearns where he was open. It was not an easy throw, but it's one we've seen Blake make, as Jeff Logman described it, those drops-in-the-bucket type throws that he's been yeah. so good at that he missed by a yard or two. We saw him miss a wide-open Clay Harbor. We saw the third and 15. I talked to Mike about this when I got in here yesterday. I'm looking forward to getting the all 22 and taking a look at the play again. When he stared down, I think it was Hearns on the play on the right side, and threw into triple coverage, and Cecil had run by his man, yeah. was streaking into the end zone if he gets the ball on that play. Those opportunities being there for that offense is why I never felt like they were really out of that football game, because the Giants were going to give that Jags offense opportunities every time they came on the field to make big plays. They had to start hitting them. They did it on two drives. And because of what the defense did, it was good enough to give them a win.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Let's let you weigh in. Let's go to Brian next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just want to say it's really good to win. Obviously feeling good this Monday morning. And a couple comments, a question and a comment. Start off, I want to say it looks like the D is back in Duval with our defense. And secondly, in your opinion, with Blake, are we at a, where in his development, where is he, with his passing, where he can pass the ball where the receiver's gonna be instead of looking in the timing part of it? You know, it seems like he's jamming it into bad places, throwing it into bad spots. Are the receivers on the wrong page? Is Blake on the wrong page? What, you know, throwing it to where the receiver's gonna be, I guess, is
sure.
what I'm trying
I,
to
no,
look
I
at.
I got what you're saying. Is he anticipating throws instead of just throwing to a stationary target? I thought, you know, where he hit Marquise Lee on that nice slant mm-hmm. play. I mean, certainly the one where he threw the touchdown to Marquise Lee, that's the definition of throwing it where the guy's going to be. When you throw it on to a guy running on a full sprint and he catches it in the end zone.
I think you're seeing it a little more. I don't think you're seeing it as much as you need to see it over the long run. And I think the answer would be that's one of those things. As these guys work more and more together, I think you'll see that more. I mean, that's one of the things when everybody has never worked together before that you're not going to see as much as you would like. That's rookie growth.
You pointed out on Jaguars.com that mechanics need to be tightened up a little with him right now. And then, look, he's a guy that has had a lot thrown at him. Not every rookie quarterback has a lot thrown at them, but for the most part, we think he's handled it well mentally. Mm-hmm. Is he going to have some backsliding into some bad habits or some issues? Yeah, he's a rookie quarterback. But I thought yesterday, even before they started really rolling the pocket a lot, which I thought started to wake up that offense late in the first half, I thought he was more nimble in the pocket just mm-hmm. when pressure was there, as opposed to just either getting it away or having the pocket collapse on him.
It sounds strange. I thought he was working harder to play looser, if you will. I mean, and
he was playing looser. Yeah. I don't know. I think
in the second half, there were a couple of times where he was under a lot of pressure. And he was trying to move away. He was trying to get back. It looked like he was trying to get back to that place that he was in the preseason, early in the season. And when you're under as much pressure as he was in the third quarter, it's hard. I mean, like, he was moving. There were a couple plays in a row where he made two guys miss, and the third guy got him. And you were just like, yeah, man, just give him a little bit of time and let him do that. But he is conscious of trying to get back to that, you know, looseness, playing free and easy. That's not always easy when things aren't going right.
Yeah, I honestly think you could probably argue it's his best game because of the pressure that he was under, the fact that he didn't turn it over, and the fact that he delivered when he absolutely had to deliver to win a football game for the first time.
You mentioned the biggest plays of the game. One that shouldn't be overlooked, you're second and 15, you've had a penalty, you've had an incomplete pass on that last drive, and he throws a slant to Marquise Lee, and they're out of it, and all of a sudden the drive gets started. How many times with Blake in the past couple of years have we seen that second and 15 be an incompletion,
right,
and your third and 15 and you're off the field and the game's over? That was a big play, because in that situation, you're supposed to sort of get that play. Fans who watch a lot of the NFL see quarterbacks get that play all the time. It was big for Marquise and Blake to be the two guys who hit that play at that point. 22 yards on second and 15. If that's third and even two on the next play, you're in a different situation. Big play.
Let's go to Eddie next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eddie.
Okay, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Good, good. Well, it was a good game. Glad to see the win and all, but I have a problem with our left tackle. I know they had an awesome defensive end in there, but you know, it's like almost every game. And yesterday, he got bull rushed. He got manhandled yesterday. Do you think it was a loss of us getting him on the first draft pick?
Well, I mean, I don't want to characterize it as anything is final in any way, shape, or form, but when you take a guy second overall in the draft, you expect to not have to notice him as much when he's an offensive lineman, right? I mean, clearly, to me, my opinion, Luke Jokel has not played like the second overall pick in the draft should play.
That's probably fair.
After 2 years. I realize he's played about a year.
Right. But I also think it's time to write him off yet, and I don't think he's played as poorly as perhaps people think. But the reality is, at that position, if you make one mistake, you're going to get...
Right, and as Tony Boselli and Jeff Logman were calling the game, they're describing the two holding calls as questionable, one of them particularly ticky-tack. You go back and look, he had a fistful of Jason Pierre-Paul's jersey. Yeah. And it doesn't have to hold it and yank him to the ground.
Yeah, there was one, I'm sure it's the one you're talking about, where you looked at it and you went, you can't not call it.
Right, when the run's going outside left and Pierre-Paul's trying to get to the outside left and Jokel's got his left hand and got a fistful of jersey or the chest area, you're going to get that call if the referee happens to
see it. I get with Jokel that he's not playing as well as you'd expect. I also think there's people expect him to be absolutely put him on the outside there and always forget about it. I don't know there's that many left tackles who do that anymore, so I'm not ready to say that he's a washout, that he's a bust. I think he's going to be okay, but he's got to get better.
But I think it's fair to question,
sure,
if you're a fan or a member of the media, well, if that's the case with left tackle, if you're not going to get that guy,
right,
should that high of a pick, and I understand that you've got to take what's available in the draft, right, based on the talent, but you know, clearly there are guys right now that are making bigger impacts, and Luke Jokel is now that starts a whole stream of the butterfly effect, right?
Sure.
I mean, then do you re-sign Eugene Monroe if you didn't go that route? Who else did you draft? Let's say you drafted, you know, with perfect hindsight, you drafted a guy like Sheldon Richardson. Okay, well, he and Cedric Marks are the same player, right? What do you get? You know what I mean? So there are a lot of what ifs that can go into it. But I agree with the point from Eddie that Luke Jokel, to me, is not playing like the second pick in the draft should. Granted that he's really a full year into his career, mm-hmm, because he played four games. He played those on the right side, then played part of a game on the left side. He's played basically one full season, but doesn't mean he can't get there.
Right.
But, you know, look, when you give up seven sacks, John, when your leading tailback has 44 yards, Blake Bortles had 60-something yards. Offensive line didn't have a great day. It's, you know, facts don't matter.
It's an issue, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do about that position. Or, meaning overall, not left tackle, but overall on the offensive line. Because they've got some guys they like, but at some point, that group's got to perform better. Seven sacks and the quarterback running for his life a lot. Can't happen.
Let's go to Terrence next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Terrence.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. Hey, Luke Jokel's going to be all right. It's really his rookie year. So give him a year just like y'all giving Blake a year. And I'm glad they didn't box Blake up this time, too, Mike. They let him play. They were boxing him up the last couple of games. And, Mike, but I want to also say, you know what the beautiful part of the football game is?
What's that, Terrence?
Is when the ball is out on the ground, it's loose, and everybody, that's the most beautiful part of the game. That's better than the interception. I just wanted to get your take on that. So we need to get more loose balls out there and take those and, you know, get those turnovers. That's great.
Right. All right. Thank you, Terrence. You know, I don't know if it's the best part. It's an exciting part, certainly, when you're the team causing the havoc. It's not so exciting when it's bouncing around and your quarterback's got to try to reach into the pile and risk his arm getting snapped in half to recover that. But I don't know how much more they could have the ball out on the ground the last couple games, John. 8 fumbles, 6 recoveries, 9 sacks.
That's about as much. And again, I always go back to, given the fact that they have not been playing with leads, that's about as much havoc as it's fair to expect from a defensive front linebacker, wherever they're getting it from. I can't kind of harp on that point enough that usually when you get that kind of pressure, that kind of, you know, looseness offensively, it's when the offense is in bad situations. Last couple weeks, they've been doing this trailing, which is very impressive, not playing with big leads.
Tony made the point, you watched last night, Sunday Night Football. I mean, Kansas City, you felt bad for Alex Smith in the fourth quarter of that game because they're down 2 scores.
Right.
And he is getting drilled on practically every drop back.
And that's kind of the norm, right? That's usually when you see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that you have to, so front-running teams, and I don't mean that in a negative connotation, teams that play with the lead more often than not.
Right.
We talked about it until we're blue in the face about the way Indy built that football team. You build it to a powerful offense and two guys to chase the quarterback because you're going to be in the lead the whole second half, and you just want to create havoc. And that's how the Indy had the formula to win 10 games, 12 games every year.
And this front also has done it. Yeah, we're giving Sinderick a lot of credit, but it's been Ryan Davis at times, Roy Miller, Chris Clemens last week. It's been sort of how they thought it would be in the offseason. When you went and signed this depth, when you got Red Bryant, Ziggy Hood, Chris Clemens, they hoped that they would be giving these guys fresher legs and that you'd have more of a team effort with everybody sort of getting it done. I don't think they thought they had a premier elite Pro Bowl pass rush in the bunch, and it's sort of played out that way.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. They want to get to that franchise record in sacks. It's going to be 5 or 6 guys getting 5 sacks.
Right.
I mean, that's how this team is going to get it done. And
we'll take it.
To this point, that's what they're doing.
We will take it. 641-1010. Let's get John on board next. John, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I've heard all the accolades for Blake Bortles and the offense and their last, you know, end of the game, well done, you know, efforts. But the fact of the matter is, the defense outscored the offense. And let's not disregard that. It's so frustrating, and I'm a huge Jag fan. I've got season tickets, all this stuff. But it gets frustrating to hear, Blake Bortles, they ran this, they did that. Yeah, they got in position to score 3 points when they had to. But the fact of the matter is, the defense scored 14 points. You know, it's so frustrating to I love the direction the team's going into. I like what Blake did and what the offense did. But the fact of the matter is, that defense was stout. It was stellar. And I don't feel like we're giving them enough credit. They scored 14 points for this team. Without them, we would have lost.
Thank you, John. I don't know a single word that we spoke today that would suggest anything otherwise, but if you want to reemphasize that, you're certainly welcome to. There you go. John, you need to stop hyping up this offense over there. I think.
I'm sorry.
who's not talking about the defense? The fact of the matter is, if you lose the game, you're going to sit here and say, this wasn't good, this wasn't good, this wasn't good.
Yeah,
and
you'd be right. Call. We were just coming off me talking about the defensive line for like 4 minutes.
Right. And going through all these players and the impact they're making. And
listing every player. Talking about how they're going above and beyond.
Yes.
You know what?
Had JT Thomas in here.
Come
live.
Out of the next break. You know what we should talk, Mike? We should talk a little defense.
Let's do that. We've been ignoring it. But when you win the game, certainly there are areas you're deficient in. And you say, well, we got to continue to improve upon them. But he threw a butt at it. The big butt is, but they won the game.
Yeah.
And that's in the end result. You know, you take that, and is it a pattern? Yeah, the offense has not been great. There's no question about it. But hope for this week, the defense stepped up, did enough. Mm-hmm. As a team, they won the football game. Let's hope the offense, all we're looking for is building blocks. Mm-hmm. And I understand when you're 1-10, you're losing every week. You're like, boy, I'm sick of looking at building blocks and incremental improvement. Well, you can take that when you win.
Right.
Because you got the ultimate prize. Everything else is kind of the gravy. And then you dissect, well, how can we be better next time? I'd rather them win the way they won yesterday with that offense and the offense hang 40 and lose on a series of ridiculous flukes.
Right. The offense, I mean,
who cares?
Had a lot of problems yesterday, but you saw a little bit of a scratch the surface of Marquise Lee and Blake Bortles getting a little rhythm together. And that's very significant.
There's no question the O-line has been an issue, okay? But the O-line's important. Nothing's more important than the development of your quarterback right now. And there was an important game for him in that aspect to bounce back from a miserable first half collectively as a team, to not throw an interception for the first time, to deliver when he had to deliver. Yes, it's only a field goal. Why do you think Gus Bradley is going for two with 17 minutes left in the game?
Right.
He knows the state of the offense, so for the offense to have to come through and actually do that, even if it's only a field goal drive, I think that's big.
And if we're going to come on here every Friday and talk about our keys for the game, and every week somebody on the show mentions, I want to see what it looks like when they play a clean game without turnovers, and I want to see at some point in these last six games the ball in Blake Bortles' hands with an opportunity to win it and him go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
They did both yesterday. They played a clean game without turning the ball over. They won. Because of it. If they had turned the ball over at any point in that game, I don't think they win that football game. And Blake was given the ball with 2 minutes and a chance to go win the game. He did. Both of those are enormous building blocks for this team going into the last four games of the year.
Your problem is you didn't say the word defense in that sentence, and you will be admonished on the break. We got to take a timeout. 641-1010. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight asking you to hand out a game ball for yesterday's win. I think Johns is going to the defense, and that's fine. Absolutely. I think a lot of them would
defense.
Go to the defense. The defense, they showed up as well. They played as well yesterday.
How many did they score yesterday?
They scored two touchdowns.
We should mention that.
We should. Let's make that a point when we return. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Who's going to game-winning drive you home tonight? Jacksonville. defense.
What about
the defense?
You're welcome.
We're on all levels, okay? Cars, the theme, defense. Don't forget to mention them. They're not getting enough love here.
Oh, this song we're going to get some years after little Johnny O was sitting in the Coliseum. I'll tell you that.
What now? This was what?
It's his drive.
Yeah, I know it is, right?
But no, this was 6 years after I saw him in concert.
Oh, you know, so you know the...
This is late Cars. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, this is Heartbeat City.
Is that right?
Yeah. I can go Cars on you now.
I guess. This is one of their better songs. They're okay. Like I said, they're okay. They're just... Whatever. There's no, like, great soul to the Cars. You know what I mean? There's not, John. Do you disagree?
I'm a big Cars guy.
Do you know who John Osher is?
That's fine. You're a big Cars guy, but, you know, you could be a big...
There's not a lot of
people.
Soul to me either, Mike. I mean...
No, then maybe that's fine, as long as you recognize it. I just want you to recognize. There's all kinds of, like, little poppy music out there that doesn't have much soul to it. There's nothing wrong with it. It could be popular. It's pop music.
If you don't have a deep soul, you don't get in Dennis's
kitchen. Oh, my goodness. I've noticed.
All right.
Stop it. I mean, I'm just pointing out that there's not much
to
them.
He's a soul man
them.
Is what he is.
I don't want a depth. To the Cars. Anyway, moving along. Wow. Defense, did I mention? On a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. You may use those for defense for your home or your person. Revolvers, sporting arms, everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. You can visit guns4jax.com, guns4jax.com, or visit South Lane Avenue here to check out Wild West Guns and Gold. Give them a call at 693-0777. Our Monday sponsor on Jaguars Today, Wild West Guns and Gold. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight. Tony, look for game balls for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do tell. What do we get?
Here's what we got from Christoph, the D-line and D-line coach. They played tough and beat Eli into the dirt. From Paul, the game ball has to go to the entire defensive line. They were dominant in the second half. Go Jags from at Irish Jaguar. The defense as a whole, but if I have to pick one, Sendarek. That man is a beast. From Eric, Sendarek and the entire D-line deserves game balls after that performance. From Paolo, Blake Bortles for bouncing back after a few horrible weeks. From Hadari, the Jags D for playing both defense and offense yesterday. From Steve, we got game ball goes to Gerhardt for making free subs possible. From Joey, JT Thomas or Colvin should get the game ball. Needed touchdowns. They scored them. Hashtag, how'd that happen? Hashtag, kids first comeback. From Jags movie guy, defense for finally blowing it up and the fans for sticking around for the second half after that horrible first half. And from Brian, we got, I don't fear opposing tight ends anymore. Not sure I've ever felt that way.
I know, I saw that.
Hashtag linebacker upgrade.
By the way, the boys were calling him Donald yesterday. I could have sworn it was Donnell, but I guess it's Donald. They get the pronunciation guide, I'm assuming. But he hit that one big one down the gut, and I bet you weren't feeling that way at that time yesterday.
Well, that was that wasn't linebacker problem.
That was Josh Evans. Right, but wasn't that in between the linebacker safety gap?
No, Evans was up in the box for some unknown reason. Because he was chasing that play down from behind.
Yeah.
Josh
had his moments yesterday.
Yeah, that play and when he ran, I mean, it's easy to do. Odell Beckham's going to make some guys miss in the open field, but when he ran right by Beckham on that screen, it was the next drive where Martin was on the field for a series. And it was just kind of a message to Josh, look.
Right, he basically came out on that play.
Yeah, we can't have that.
And he came up later and stuck somebody in the exact same kind of circumstance.
Yeah, like on one of those little bubble screens the Giants ran
and blew the play up. You know, and he just, it was almost like he wanted to go in there and make that, you know, game changing play instead of just making the simple play, which at the time might have changed the game a little bit, you know, in a positive fashion, just a little more incrementally.
He can do that to you.
I'm just saying, you come flying up there. I think he made it, I think he came in there,
coming in hot.
A little hot, yes. That's a good way to. But he and Simpleton to do that from time to time. But hey, they're on defense, so they did well yesterday, right? Because we just threw the blanket. Defense good, offense bad.
How many touchdowns did they score? We need to mention.
They scored two. The defense scored two of those touchdowns yesterday.
All right. Holy cow.
We should get one of those guys in here. Oh wait, we did. JT Thomas.
Yes, we did.
Nice job for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now Ozone. The question is, what is your expectation? They have four games left. You know, starting with Houston this week, and we got to take it one game at a time because Houston's the next game, so it's the most important game, blah, 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 blah. What do you expect, though? What do you think is realistic here? Can they get another one? Can they get a couple more?
You know, I think a realistic goal, you still got a chance to finish four or win four games at Everbank Field. It's not absurd to think that you go out and play Houston and Tennessee tough. I mean, so I'm saying it's going to happen. I think a realistic goal is with this schedule, you should be in every game and have a chance to win and get yourself in situations where we see how they play under pressure in the fourth quarter in three of these last four games.
Is it not logical that provided Tennessee doesn't win their next couple or the Jags well, you know, maybe lose several key guys to injury. Jags got to be favored at home against Tennessee, don't they? They're both two-win teams.
You would think Tennessee's lost six in a row.
Right, and the Jags went down to the wire at their place and had a chance to kick a game-winning field goal, you know, on the last play.
It's hard to tell the lines in the last game of the season.
I like to look at that stuff.
It's hard to know where you'll be at in 3 weeks and what, you know, but... Yeah, and they should be favored in that game, you would think.
I'm curious to see what happens with Zach Mettenberg. I didn't see how he got injured. He had a sprained AC joint.
I didn't either.
I'm curious to see the play. I'm going to go look for that because you know the big knock on him was his lack of mobility.
Right.
And, you know, anybody can get hit. Blake got sacked seven times. It's not that he has a lack of mobility.
Right.
So anybody can get hit. I'm just curious because Jake Locker came in, and clearly he's not getting the first-team reps anymore, but was not good at all yesterday.
Obviously what you'd like to see in the last four, you know, this team needs to feel good about itself going into the offseason. This regime is going to be here. This is who you're building with. This is the team. But mostly they still need to continue finding the core. They need to keep finding guys like they're starting to find Marquise Lee. Like they're starting to find Aaron Colvin. You want to keep finding guys like that that you feel like, okay, this is a guy who we can rely on to do X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
Now what do we need to go along with that?
Didn't mention Demetrius McCray's name all day, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
I mean, he shut it down on that side of the field.
Year.
Right.
Yeah.
Grotz, you saw a couple shaky moments from him yesterday, but Colvin, I mean, look, nobody looks the part more than Colvin in that secondary, really, for this defense, and that he's flying around making the plays he is just 2 weeks into his career is very promising.
You know,
Telvin
Smith,
forward.
I mean, there's guys that, especially if you believe that players really do improve dramatically in their second year playing full-time roles, all these guys we're talking about, if they make jumps, then you're starting to get core guys.
They all won't. We know they all won't. I mean, just
well,
look,
the guys we just mentioned.
Well, I mean, look
not at, all of them will, but the guys we just mentioned, I think, have a chance to.
Certainly. And so if you get a reasonably high percentage of those guys that do, then you're in good shape. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say Cyprian's made a big jump in year two.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, just because you have the potential and we believe he's got the ability doesn't mean just that 1 year of seasoning
right.
is going to lead to automatically a big jump. Sometimes it comes in year three. Sometimes it just doesn't come.
Sure.
You know, so let's hope they all jump. John, defense, I want you to dwell on the defense in your writings this week,
yeah,
please. Offer them praise.
Sometimes I fall short, and maybe today is one of those days.
No, that's typical of
yeah.
you, I've found. Seriously, what do you have coming up this week?
It'll be a fun week. Because you get a chance to talk to these guys about some success. So today we'll have Gus Bradley press conference, and then we're into the week.
There you go. John Osier, senior writer from Jaguars.com. Appreciate you, brother. And
thank you, buddy.
Thanks to JT Thomas for stopping by. Josh Scobie stopping by as well, kicking that game winner. For Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, for Joe Fortunato. Hopeful to have some Jag coaches on with us tomorrow on the Players' Day Off as well when Jeff Loggeman joins me. What's always a spectacular edition of Jaguars Today every Tuesday.
You
I
live
find.
For Tuesdays?
I really do. I live for you walking by that bay window every Tuesday and just giving me a knowing grin
oh, yeah.
that it's going to be a good one today.
I know
today.
You're in a good place on this.
I you can rest assured I can get through Tuesday just fine. Thank you very much. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, all of you out there. Congrats to all you Jaguar fans for hanging in with your football team yesterday.